Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Ready. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. I'm social media, online, in the house. I just thank God for another day of blessings. He woke us up this morning, started us on our way. He given us health and strength in our bodies. And I just thank him for being a mighty good God, for being a good God, righteous God, holy God. Amen. I guess we just go ahead on with prayer with and the two of us this morning.
Amen, amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for allowing us to come together in your name, Lord. We just want to lift your name up and magnify you and praise you, Lord, this morning. Lord, we want to come together and give you thanks, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you for everything that you've done in each
and
every one of our lives.
Thank you.
You know the holes you've done.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
You know the doors you've opened for us.
Yes.
No man can open.
Thank you, Lord.
We want to thank you for it on today, Lord. We want to thank you for life, health, and strength, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord, for destiny, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord, for purpose.
Yes,
and,
Lord.
We just want to fulfill every purpose that you have for us.
Thank
in
you.
In our lives.
In our lives.
Yes,
Lord.
Lord, we want to bind and rebuke any work of the enemy
that's
trying to prohibit us from receiving anything that you have.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we want to open up our ears, our hearts, and our minds, and we want to receive whatever word that you have for us on today, Lord. And Lord, help us to receive that word and work in our lives just to speak of the house on today, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, to the head, to the soul of his feet, Lord.
Yes,
Lord. Let your anointing flow freely.
It is, Lord, Lord. Thank
you.
Yes,
amen.
Lord.
Jesus,
amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Abba Pilo, for that lovely prayer. Now we have scripture reading by Katifa.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll actually be reading two scriptures today.
Okay.
These two scriptures are dedicated to my sister
whose birthday is
today.
They're going to have
a faith. I'm going to
say this.
I'll be starting at number 24:26. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
Yeah.
And following you be gracious to you. May you look your way to give you. And also Psalms 20:4. May God give you desire to your heart and make all your plans.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for those other scriptures. Mr. Katisa, you may bless your hearing and do of his word. Okay. If I'm going to give a shout out to, I guess he is third oldest pastor. Well, this is Pastor now. Nope. I'm sorry. Let me turn it around. He's the third child. And then Mr. Cream, Pastor Faye, and I, she's our first child together. So I guess we say we're happy that they're eight. Father's sixth birthday on today. This is to you, Ms. Tahita Regina Page, came to talk this morning. And I love you dearly, young lady. You know how much my heart loves you. I remember the day you were born. That day we had all that good stuff to hell now for childbirth. And but I thank God every day for you. And I love you, young lady. And be blessed on today. Amen. Just any testimonies online, we have to go on for it right now. We think it's happening.
I'd like to testify.
Okay.
I remember this morning. I was going to thank you. She sent an invitation to choose.
book called Do You Believe? Oh, it was a blessing. You know, I got to meet with the sisters. They had you know, it was fun. And my testimony is that they empowered me, you know, in a way that now, like I was second guessing myself. I'm coming scared, and I'm like, Lord, I don't know, you know. But after being amongst them, you know, they encouraged me. They so much love, and now I just feel like I'm done being scared.
Amen. 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 That's your, I think you have a job.
God said he was So I got offer another part-time job, so it's going to allow me to quit another part-time job. It wasn't as much.
Uh-huh.
So I just know if I just keep believing in him, then I'm going to be able to fix all things and be comfortable.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Anyone else? That's Bishop testify this morning. Testify, Bishop. Bishop?
Just thank God for being here this morning to see this day that I've never seen before. So thank God. Thank God. Thank God for the children. Amen. It's all doing well.
Amen.
Thank God that I pray that God keeps him on the right path and living that all of my children. You know, God said he'll bless my seed and my seed seed
after.
So I'm thanking God that his hand will continue to be even on my grandchildren, even when I'm going the other way. I ask that God's hand continue to be upon them to draw them into his glorious kingdom. And so I just thank God for his word. And for my health and my strength also. And all of this time here, I still believe God will do what he said he would do. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop.
Amen.
If you do it to us, we're going to do it to you. Put you on the spot this morning. But you're never on the spot, are you? Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Belief, a faith.
Mm-hmm.
A faith when you trust in God and trust that God's going to do what he shows you he was going to do. I was talking with my wife of the day, you know, when God gives you a vision and you start to see the vision unfold, like I was telling her, we ain't come up here because we needed help. We needed help. But that ain't why we came. I came up here because I saw a vision.
Okay.
And I see God unfolding the vision now. And that's why he said to be patient. He said, write the vision down, make it plain, and though it's scary, wait on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was getting discouraged when I first got up, but I was ready to go back home because I was like, man, the vision ain't going down. And I see God showing it to me, and I'm glad it's coming to pass. And I just thank God, you know, for, he said he's going to get an old man things and the young men, mm-hmm. you know, something like that, vice versa. But I thank God that I'm not a man that I feel like, or some man that I should have paid if I said so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make it happen. So thank God for making it happen.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for vision, huh? Yeah. Thank God for holy boldness. Amen. I need some of that, too. Yeah. On the street, but not up here, though. Amen. Okay. Oh, Jesus. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay. I want to thank God again. For no, when the Lord tells you something, the devil gonna come along. He gonna make sure. He gonna put everything in your way. Okay. For example, well, I know one man told me that God said he's not through me yet. And I said, okay. But then when I be home and pain going on, I said, okay, God, how am I going to do all this and I'm all this in pain? But then I got all this prophecy about healing, about maybe a month going around for this. And no, and like, it's like he told me that it was getting worse and worse. You know, my feet hurt worse, you know, everything. I can't see my feet sometimes. You know, just all this stuff going on. But I got to, like, as the people were saying, I got to stay on what God told me. He told me that he's not friends with me yet, and he told me I'm by his heel. So I got to believe that word that came forth, the prophecy that came forth. You know, but he going to make sure, he going to say, okay, you say this, but I'm going to say this. So that's why I said myself, talk to myself all the time. So we can talk to yourself. The devil hears what you be saying out of your mouth. I said, so I be talking to myself a lot. I said, I got to stop doing that. I let the positive stuff come out of my mouth. You know, because he hears what you be saying, and he taking it, and he runs with it. So I just thank God that he showed me this stuff, you know. Stop talking to yourself so much out loud. If you do, talk positive stuff and not negative stuff. You know, so I just thank God for just being God in my life, saving me for over, well, 41 years ago. And I had never desired to go back because I know nothing back there for me. And when I left it and went there back there, I know now it's definitely out there for me. So I just thank God for being in him and his presence, thank for his understanding, his wisdom, his knowledge. And you can read the scripture one time and read it again, it's a whole different way you see it. You say, oh, okay, I finally see this now. I got it, you know. It took a while, but you get it sooner or later. One time comes for you, get it. You get it. You get it. And I just thank God for that. So that he is showing me when I read, give me the understanding of what I've been reading. Because without understanding what you read, it just gibble gabble what you want to call it. Yada, yada, yada. And all it is, you know. So I think it's for understanding. And I think it's for wisdom. They got this medicine I call wisdom. They got everything that the Bible, though, that mirror, the understanding, that all that stuff will be in it. You know, everything that body. So, okay, I also okay. When it says something about come to my body and healing, oh, I'm gonna see the real. If it isn't real, I'm gonna see the real. You know, so you will do that when you try to find anything to help the pain, whatever. You will try stuff, not bad stuff. You just say about healing you, the pain. I ain't even hear this. Take away the pain for a little while. Yeah, you'll do that. So I just thank God. I'm going to see if I can get it and help me. Make sure that everybody keep some wisdom. So I just thank God again. I just thank him. I can't stop thanking him this morning. I just thank him. Okay, so now there are more testimonies online, more testimonies in the house. I can have the prayer team and come on up and take the house. Amen. And call those things.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, Cass. Every place.
you are, God. Yeah. Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah.
You are, God.
You are, God.
Come on, hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah.
You are, God.
I worship you.
Yeah.
You are here.
What is it?
Yes, Lord. We give them the glory and the honor this morning. Praise God. Now we're going to turn it back over into the hands of Lady Rebecca. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, praise team.
Thank you. Amen. So now we're going to... So now we go. Anyone else came in a little bit later? Have a testimony this morning? Anyone?
I got this medical bill in the mail. It's like $700. And I was like, well, you know, I'm going to go on my credit because I'm paying you. So someone was like, can you just call your insurance company? All the people. So I called and I was like, can you just tell me what this bill is for? And she was like, oh, you don't put a bad bill for that. She's like, I'm going to go ahead and refund your money.
Yeah, you
and I'm going to go and close your account. I said, well, thank you.
Okay. Amen. Just sad God working in this little, I'm not going to say little, in this great congregation of ours. Amen. 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 I don't say little. It's great congregation of ours here. And he is blessing onto the house with blessing. Blessing, blessing, blessing. Blessing on blessing. You got it now. Okay. Amen. So now we go call about Bishop. Of the house, Mr. Mac Page.
Thank you. Amen. Well, praise God, praise God, praise God. We just want to thank God today. This is a new day. This is a new day. It's a new beginning. And every day that God allows us to be here, amen, it's a blessing. You know, you might take it for granted, but there are many who didn't wake up this morning, but we did. There are many wish they had another opportunity, but they didn't get it. And so being that we're here because God has blessed us. And so I just want to thank God for you know, how your children turn a little older. Thank God for her. They're getting older. And then every day they get older, it makes me feel younger. And so thank God. Amen. But thank God it's good to be able to see your children grow up. You know, sometimes some people don't get a chance to see their children grow up. And I'm thankful for my children. I just want all of y'all to know I'm thankful for y'all, all that you've done, all that you accomplished, and the thing that you did with your life. You know how sometimes we think, you know, that, well, I don't want to raise my children like my parents raised me, you know, in some way. And then you might realize the reason you got what you got is because of the way your parents raised you. Because if you was raised differently, maybe you might be in the street somewhere now. Maybe you wouldn't have a job. Maybe you wouldn't have nothing now. But it left something in you to be desired. When you give everything and then I don't desire anything, that I don't have a reason to do anything. So we have to be careful sometimes how we do things. I've always told them, I will always make sure that you have everything you need. You won't go lacking anything that you need. But I can't give you everything that you want. When you get where that you desire something, you have to leave some desire in their heart where that they would desire to have something so that they might go after something. But if I've always had everything I wanted, then when I grow up, I don't want anything because I've already had it. I don't have a reason to do anything is because I've already done it. And so we have to be careful sometimes. You know how we say sometimes that sometimes they say the well-off people, you know, they say their children usually turn out to be worse than all of them because their parents have given them everything. Their parents has catered to them all their life. and everything they meet, daddy, mama. And so, therefore, they don't ever feel like they have to be responsible in life. You know, everybody in life, you have to learn how have to teach them responsibilities. If they don't learn responsibility now when they get older, then they won't know responsibility because they've never been taught responsibility. And so we have to be careful of how we do things, because sometimes the thing that you're doing that you think you're helping, you could be destroying or hurting. See, I wasn't raised with a whole lot. You know, we wasn't poor, we was poor. We wasn't poor, we was poor. And how sometimes people tell you that you got to raise yourself up by your bootstraps, but we didn't have even no bootstrap to raise ourselves up with, amen. And so all through my life, you know, I had to work for what I got, amen. Because one thing my daddy taught me, he may have been other things, but he taught me you got to be responsible. He was always responsible, amen. He made sure that the house was taken care of, even though he did other things. But he taught responsibility, amen. Take care of your family. Take care of your children, amen. And that's what I've done. The best I can do it sometimes, you know. Take care of your wife. Take care of your children. And I've learned to do that, even though sometimes it was painful, but I still did it, amen. I went to work sometime, I didn't feel like going, amen. I did it anyway.
Amen.
Because I was trying to carry out my responsibilities. Even one time, you know, even when I got ready to leave home, we left home, and I told my father-in-law, I had to tell my father-in-law or my wife.
Okay.
Yeah, I told my father-in-law and my wife. And he said, well, if she don't want to do what you asked her to do, pay, send her back home. Exact words, he said, send her back home. And I said, he said, then if you're going, you know, when I first moved from Mobile, I moved to Kentucky. This is my testimony maybe today. I moved to Kentucky. And then I said, well, I'm taking my family with me. He said, no, leave them here. I said, no, I'm responsible for them. I married her. I guess I got to take care of her. I had Gina. I got to take care of her at the time. Amen. But because I didn't want to go against my responsibility. I figured where I go, they go with me. Amen. I wasn't going to leave it on my father-in-law hand or my mother-in-law hand. I wasn't going to leave them because I felt responsible.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we live in this life, we got to know we take care of our responsibility, and that's what happened to so many men today. So many men, they're afraid of responsibility. They don't know how to take care of anything. They never had to do anything. They never had to wash no dishes, amen. They never had to cook. They never had to vacuum the floor. They never had to sweep up. They never had to rake the yard, amen. Because the parents didn't give them responsibility, and so now they don't know how to do nothing because their parents never made them responsible. They don't even know how to go out and get a job, amen, because they never had to do it while they was young. You see, this is what the Bible means. Train up a child in the way they should go. And when they grow old, they won't depart from it, amen. This is what that means. You got to train them now while they're young. Because when they get old, all of a sudden, responsibility has fallen on them and they don't know how to handle it. Well, I don't know how to do nothing. My daddy never told me how to do nothing. Mama never did teach us how to do nothing. All mama did was work, and all daddy did was work, amen. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? To y'all today, amen. Teach your children responsibility now so that when they grow up, they'll be responsible for themselves and not have to have somebody else to take care of them. Amen. Teach your boys to be responsible. Amen. So that when they grow up, they won't have to go out and try to find some woman to take care of them. Amen.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? It might be different today. Amen. So we got to get things out. We got to get things out because sometimes things are left unsaid, but we have to get things out. They need to be said because when they grow up, then they'll still be hanging on your coattail, asking mama for everything, asking daddy for everything. Well, daddy, I need, and mama, I need. Why don't you go get it yourself then, you know? I gave you a place to stay. I did everything that was necessary in your life. You got to learn how to get up on your own and go. And so we need to learn responsibility, amen? Teach your children responsibility. Men, learn how to be responsible for the child that you begot. Because there's so many men that they're not at home now. And the child that they got, they're out taking care of somebody else's child. And then they're not even taking care of their own. They'll be responsible for somebody else's child, but they won't be responsible for their own. You know, what I'm trying to say, you go to the lady that's got two or three kids, and you had a wife with two kids or one child, and you left her, and now you're taking care of this other lady, three kids, and then you left yours deserted. Well, what kind of man is that, amen? That won't be responsible for what he begins. I thank God that God is responsible for what he begins. Amen. 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 He created us and begot us here, and now he's responsible for us. So thank God for responsibility. Amen. Hallelujah. And so what I like to say, too, also, you know, when we talk about something, you know, when it comes to the body of Christ, when it comes to the people of God, there must be faithfulness.
Amen.
No, I'm looking at it now. I'm going to have it here in this church. If you're not faithful to the church, if you don't come on time like everybody else is going to come on time, if you don't attend the Bible study, you won't be preaching here. And I don't care if it's my own child.
Amen.
You got to be responsible, amen. What I'm talking about, I'm talking about responsibility. I'm talking about responsibility and faithfulness because you can't be talking about being faithful, telling me to be faithful to God, and you can't be faithful to the little thing that is now. How are you going to tell everybody else to be faithful to something else? Mm-hmm. So you got to be for real. You know, we get to the time where the body of Christ got to be for real. Amen. We've been shucking and jiving and stuff. You know what I mean? We got to be for real now. Amen. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. It's near. And so we got to learn how to be faithful to God. Just like God is faithful to us, we've got to be faithful to him because it is he that is taken care of. It is he that has given us breath. It is he that has given us life, amen. It is he that we move and have our beings. Everything that we have, it is in God today, amen. But if we can't be faithful to the thing, how can we say we're going to be faithful to God when we can't be faithful to the small things that we do now? How can we say that we're going to have faith when he come and we can't even get by the small things that we're dealing with now?
Amen.
Hmm? Time for change, amen. Time for a change, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Just praise, you want to get that scripture I said? Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, thank you for the word of God and the people of God, amen. And we're just going to get going. I went on, but Lord, bless this word, oh Lord, and bless the people that hear it. And may they do it. And not just be the hearers only, but doers of the work. Amen. Amen. Where's scripture, Sister Paige? Come on, let's get started here. Matthew 24, verse 37. Go with us, amen.
As the day of Noah.
Also the coming of the time of
man. Uh-huh. But as it is the day that was before the flood, they were feeding, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day of Noah came into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
Amen. Amen. I just want to talk. I have a thought today, as and so. As and so, you know. But when we talk about as and so, as, it points to the past, amen, something that happened in the past. Mm-hmm. And so he's looking back at the thing that went on in the past. Amen. And then when you look at the word so means something that is in the future from the time that he spoke it. He's saying that so is it now. So is it now. So is it now. This is where it's going to be when he appears. It's going to be just like it was then. It's going to be just like that now. And have you realized that is everything the same, going on the same? Everything's happening the same way, the same day what it was done then. It's the same way things are being done now. We've been talking about a few days, we've been talking about repentance means to change your mind. And being that repentance means to change your mind, it said just like it was in the day of Noah, they was all eating, they was drinking, married and giving in marriage. They were still going to the parties, you know. They were still having illicit sex. They were still, even though the word was being preached that the Lord is coming soon, but nobody was willing to change. Everything kept continued as they were. There was no change, amen. Mm-hmm. There was no change in their thinking. There was no change in their ways. Everybody kept doing the same thing they was doing before they got saved.
Amen.
No change. The only difference is that you came and you made a confession of your faith, amen. But there was no change in your life. Where is the change of life? Is not repentance mean to have a change of life, to change your mind, to change your ideas about things? But it's just like it was then. The word was being preached back then. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. But nobody had time. Everybody was busy about what they was doing. They were busy about doing what they want to do, going where they want to go, saying what they want to say. But nobody saw that it was a need for change. And it's the same way today. Even though Jesus said in his last days, in that same chapter there's going to be wars and rumors of war. And he said the end is not yet, but it's near. It's nigh at hand. He said, when we see the armies gathering together, know that the time is at hand. But we hear about that. I mean, I'm not over there in the east, but I do know and hear about all the things that is going on over there. I hear that Russia wants to go, and I see the United States wants to shoot, and Israel wants to shoot, and Iran wants to shoot, and Yemen wants to shoot. And all of these nations are coming against one another. And Jesus said that these will be the signs of the times of my coming. Armageddon, where there's a blood, where the battle going to be so desperate, amen, that it's going to take 7 months to clean up the dead. It's going to be so many people dying. But yet we are seeing that and hearing about that, but yet nobody is changing. They don't see that there's a need to do something different than what they've been doing. They don't see that there's a need to pray. They don't see that there's a need to seek out the God because of the things that's getting ready to take place. Everything continues just as it was. But there's no change. You know, people are not changing. People are not seeking God now. I mean, they was having fun, and they was going to the party, and they was going to the ball game, and they didn't have their mind on God. And they don't see the need to change. Because everything continues just as they've been doing all the time. They don't care what's going on. They don't care about what they hear. They're still what? Going on doing the same thing. Just like it was in the time of Noah. But we got to see that we got to make some mind changes now. Amen? We got to make sure that we are ready when the Lord comes. Amen. Not that we're waiting around because of things that are taking place, but if we know the Lord is coming soon, then I need to be getting my mind right. I need to be getting my life right now. Because who's going to stand in the evil day? When the evil day comes, who shall be able to stand? Are we going to have enough faith to be able to stand? Because he said, you know, men's hearts going to be filled on them for the things that are coming upon the earth. But yet they see all the things that's coming, but nobody is willing to change. No one is willing to do something different now. Amen.
Amen.
No one is willing to seek God. Maybe we need to get where we see God more now. Maybe we need to get where we pray more now. Maybe we need to get where we fast a little more now. Maybe we need to get where we get into the word more now. Because what?
We see the time is approaching. When the time is approaching, it's time for us to repent and say, hey, I'm going to stop doing this now. I'm going to do something different. I thought about the scripture that says, blessed is he who is not condemned in the thing which he allowed. Blessed are you who's not in condemning the thing that you allow. That means the thing that you allow to go on in your life. You're condemning yourself about it, but you won't change. You continue to do it, but you don't change, amen. You won't change your mind about it, but yet it's bothering you, so you're doing it, amen. It's conviction. You're bringing conviction on you for doing it, but yet you won't change. You continue to go on and go on and grieve the Holy Spirit. You're grieving the Holy Spirit because now your conscience has told you that there's something wrong, and yet you won't take care of it. You won't change your mind. You see, in order to do that, there must be a change of your mind to go in a different way and to do something different now. I've been doing this, amen, but I need to change my mind about this thing because this thing is bothering me. It's convicting, making conviction on me. And so we need to change our mind. See, if we want to say repentance is having a change of mind, have you changed your mind about the thing that you are doing that is convicting you for doing it, but yet you do it?
Yeah. It bothers you. I hear people say, yeah, that bothers me. It bothers me, but I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah, I know it's wrong, but I'm going to keep doing it. See, that was the way they was back then, amen. There were things that they was doing, amen, convicting them of their doing, but they were saying, it ain't going to rain. Ain't nothing going to happen, amen. Yeah. Everything going to be the same, you know. Amen. If I fall down, I'm going to get back up, and everything's just going to be as good as it was in the beginning. We might need to change our mind, because what if God come and catch you not ready? And I know everybody has told you that Jesus, you know, when he comes, you know, everybody tries to say, well, he's a white Jesus, and he's that. No, but when he came to put a, you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to get on your conscious mind. I want you to be conscious of the God of heaven, amen, to make you conscious enough, amen, to make you aware that there is a God. And when you become aware of there is a God, that means that would mean you have someone to give responsibility to. See, the reason we keep doing what we're doing because we don't think that we need to be responsible to nobody, but when we have to be responsible for the Creator, amen. You're responsible to somebody, and that's why people keep doing what we do, because we don't realize that we're going to have to give an account. That God said we all going to have to give an account for everything that we've done in this body, whether it be good or evil, we're going to have to give an account to it. But when we don't think that we have to give an account to anybody, the reason that we keep doing what we do is because we don't think we're going to have to give an account, amen. The reason it continues to go on and on is because the responsibility that he gave you, we don't think that we're going to have to give an account for the responsibility that he gave you. Now, not when he gave somebody else now, but it's the responsibility that God has given you a responsibility. God has given you a task to do, but yet you think that you're not going to be held accountable for what it is that you didn't do. We're too quick, amen, to look out at what everybody else didn't do and not take an account of ourselves. So we got to take an account of ourselves, amen. Not an account of everybody else, but you got to take an account of yourself, amen. If we think about the scripture, when God gave everybody a gift, amen, he gave one, you know, when we think about the story that one gave one man 10 talents, gave another man 5 talents, and gave man 1 talent. And the man that had 10 went and got 10 more, and the one that had 5, he went and got 5 more. And the one that he gave 1 went and buried his talent because he said, well, I know I got to give an account for the talent. Yeah, but you didn't get an account. You didn't do the work with what God told you to do with it. And you buried yours, and you hid yours because you didn't think you was going to have to give an account to the master. And when the Lord came back, he said, you are unworthy, no good servant you. no good servant you. I gave you what I gave you that one gift to do, and I gave you that gift to multiply. And it, and rather than just putting it in, going and hiding it, you could have put it in the bank and let it drew some interest off of it, amen. Rather than to just go bury it and put it in the can somewhere and put it down in the ground, you could have put it in the bank and got some interest off of it, amen. But for the reason he gave you the gift in the first place, he gave you that gift so that you can make an investment. Okay, are we making any kind of investment, say then, in order to get a return? Now, this is just for your natural life, too, not only just for your spiritual life, but this is also in your natural life. Are you making any investments, amen? Or are you making an investment in anything where you're going to get a return on it? See, God, when the Lord gave his son Jesus Christ and he died on the cross for us, he was making an investment. He only had one gift. God only had one son, amen, only one gift. So he invested that one son so that he can get many sons. And the reason that you and I are here now is because of God's investment. He got a greater return, amen. Huh? And if God gave you a gift and then that you're not investing in the gift that God gave you, what kind of return is God going to get for what he gave you? And so we get so busy about doing our own thing.
Amen.
And we forget about the things of God, amen. It is all about me, amen. It is all about my happiness, amen, when you talk about happiness. It's all about my pleasure. I want to have pleasure, and I want to do all of it. It is all about me. It's all about me. But what about what you going to do with the gift that God gave you? If God gave you that gift to use, amen, not to be hidden, what are you going to tell him when he come back? Lord, I was too busy. I had too much time. I had too many things to do, amen. You know, I had to go to the party. I had to go to the game, amen. I didn't have time for you, Lord. And I wanted to go on vacation. You know, I had to go to the beach. I want to lay out and get darker than I am now, amen. I didn't have time for you, Lord. But I wanted to do all that. And then the Lord, if the Lord calls you unworthy, no good servant, then what does that mean for you? And then you're just going to be washed away in the water because you didn't make preparation, amen. See, whenever a word is being preached, amen, or something is being said, faith coming by what?
Hearing.
Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so when God allows you to hear something, he has allowed you to hear something so you can do something. See, whenever we look at the word of God, we're looking at, see, when you hear about it, it's going to rain, and when you keep hearing about the Lord is coming soon, amen. All the signs of the time is at hand. What is God saying? Whenever I let you know that something is coming, you need to make preparation.
Amen.
Hmm?
Amen.
See, I'm warning you. I'm letting you know that something is getting ready to take place so you can make preparation for what's getting ready to take place, amen. See, God always warns us before something happens, amen. And sometimes he talks to people for 120 years, and he tells them it's going to rain now. It's going to rain now. Make preparation. You need to make some preparation because it's going to rain now. Well, and then we look up in the sky, right? And it's rain today, y'all. He's doing what I'm doing tomorrow. And that's the way we're doing today. We've heard about it because we heard about it for how old are you, 42 years or 41 years? You heard about it for 41 years or 44 years, or how old y'all? You heard about it all this time, or ever since you've been born, you've been hearing about it. Oh, the Lord is coming soon. You say, I've been 40 years.
<For real.
laughs> You know, it's been 40 years. Ain't nothing happened
yet.
Yeah. We've been living in the last day for the last 40 years. Pop, he showed up yet? Well, that was the same thing they said in Noah's time. About 120 years it took for the Lord to show up. But because he had already warned them, all of a sudden he said, Noah, everybody get in the ark. Everybody get in the ark. Bring all the cows and horses and all the living creatures and things. Get them into the ark. And then it started to rain. Everybody, all of a sudden. It was something that when it took place, it didn't take a long time for it to take place. It was something that started happening. You don't have time to gather yourself together. You don't have time to get yourself ready, amen. It's kind of like the five wise virgins and five foolish, you know, we talk about those five foolish. Amen. They didn't keep no oil in their lamp all the while the time they was waiting for the bridegroom to come back. They didn't keep oil in their lamp, and all of a sudden he just showed up, amen. And when he showed up at that time, amen, they wasn't ready. He had just said, I'm coming to marry you now. I'm coming to marry you. But they didn't get themselves ready. So I say in the last days, it's going to be the same way, amen. There's a lot of people who are continue doing, they keep eating, they keep drinking, they keep marrying, they keep doing. They're just doing that, going about their regular days. But they're not making preparation for the Lord's return because it could be at noonday. It could be in the middle of the night. Amen. It could be early one morning. Amen. That he shows up. We don't know when it's going to take place, but we have to always stay prepared for the coming of the Lord. Amen. And not keep on doing things that we know that we shouldn't be doing, and we're going to get it right tomorrow.
Right.
You know, it's always tomorrow. You know, that's what we always say. It's always tomorrow to get it right. But that's the Bible says, don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today. We don't know the day or the hour that the Lord is going to show up, but he said we need to be making preparation, amen. We ought to be getting ourselves together right now and stop putting it off and waiting because it might start raining tonight. The Lord could come tonight. Everybody said, well, he can't come. Well, the Lord can come when he feel like. You know, like I said before, there's a lot of things we say haven't been fulfilled. It don't mean that it haven't been fulfilled. You just didn't hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of fulfillment that has already taken place, but you just didn't hear about it. Amen.
Right.
Some things could have already happened. You just didn't hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
But he still warned you to say that I'm coming soon. He's been sending a message of repentance. Repent, 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 repent. For what? The kingdom of God is at hand. It's at hand. It's near. It's close by. And don't be like the people of Noah's time. Everybody just waited till Noah filled the ark up. They saw the ark getting full. They saw the animals. They said, well, how did these lions are walking? And they didn't eat nobody up, amen. And they was all two by two. See, what I'm trying to say, sometimes the animals got more sense than we got when it comes to the things of God. The trees know when it's getting ready to storm. The leaves will tighten up on the tree because when there was a storm coming, amen. Hmm? When it was getting ready to get cold, the cows will turn their rear end toward the wind, amen, because they know something to get ready to take place. You see, God has the elements and tools and nature, but it's only us. It's only man that is not in tune with God that they don't realize and understand when something is getting ready to take place and thereby getting themselves ready, amen. This is why the Bible says time to repent. It's time to quit playing and putting things off. And then looking at everybody else. Luke chapter 13 right quick for time's sake. I think it's Luke 13. I think the first five scriptures. It's time to change your mind, amen. Just thinking ain't nothing gonna happen. It's gonna be all right. Well, you don't know. One of them nukes can go off at any time. Amen.
Well, you just wake up.
You wake up in the presence of the Lord. It went off at night while you were sleeping, and everything burned up, and you didn't even know it. Whoop, just like that. And then you get before the Lord and say, "Well, Lord, I was going to repent the next day, but." Read on.
13:1 Luke.
Uh-huh.
There was present at this season, amen. There was present at this season some that told him of the Galilean, those blood products
have mingled
with their sacrifice.
Uh-huh.
And Jesus answered and said unto them,
yes.
Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans.
Amen.
Because they suffered certain things.
Uh-huh.
I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall be likewise perished.
Uh-huh.
Of those 18 aborn whom the tower of
Babel,
them,
Shalom,
yeah, fell and threw them.
Come on now,
think ye that they were sinners, and were all men that dwell in Jerusalem. I tell you, verse 5, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish.
Amen. Have you ever thought about what Jesus was saying here? Amen. You think just because bad things happen to other people, you know, that they were more sinners than you are. They were worse off than you are, you know. And so you look down on them. Oh, man, the reason that happened to them, they were sinners, you know, they were bad sinners. But Jesus wanted to say, I want you to get this straight now. But except you repent, you're going to perish just like they did. Because you don't base sin and thing on what people do and all that. You base sin on what you are or who you are, amen. Well, we are sinners by nature. And therefore what? He reigns on the just as well as the unjust, so bad things can happen to the righteous also, just like bad things can happen to the wicked, amen. Because God reigns on the just and the unjust, and just because that thing happened to them, it don't mean that you are any better than they are. But we get to thinking like that, amen. I used to be like that myself. I said, well, because, you know, I don't bother nobody. I don't do nothing wrong. You know, I don't do nothing wrong, amen. And so I'm all right. You know, I don't need no God in my life because, you know, everything's going very well with me, amen. And because everything is going well with me, then this doesn't happen to me because of the thing they do, amen. And I realize that I'm still a sinner myself, but he said, except you repent also. Now, sometimes we can think just because we are so self-righteous then we can't see our own sin, but we can see everybody else's. But we so self-righteous on ourselves, we see everything they do, but we don't see what we do on our own. And we normally judge and put the finger out on everybody else, but we don't ever put the finger back on ourselves. Amen. We normally blame everybody else, but we don't ever blame ourselves. Well, I did this because you did that. No, you didn't do that because I did something to you. You did something wrong. You did it because there's something wrong with you.
Come on now.
Can't nobody make you do anything. So you're acting out like that. You're acting out that way because there's something you haven't repented of, amen. That there's something that has happened to you that is still bothering you. And you're taking it out on somebody else. And then now you want to blame somebody else because you want to point it at them because you don't want to look at yourself. See, sometimes we got to take the mirror and put it back on ourselves and stop blaming everybody else for what we do. This is why he said, except you repent. Hmm? All your anger and malice that you lash out on somebody else and you blame them for what is going on, amen. Oh, it was your fault. If you hadn't said this, if you hadn't did this, no, something wrong with you. You need to look at yourself. So Jesus said, don't look at the other people and talk about how bad they were. Why don't you take inventory of yourself and see what's wrong with you? Have you taken inventory of yourself to see what's wrong with me? Not what's wrong with somebody else. What's wrong with me? Because can't nobody make you do anything. If somebody can make you do something, God would have made you do something. He won't even make you do anything. He'll let you suffer your own consequence, but he won't make you do anything. Mm-hmm. He could make you do it, but he said, I just want you to repent. If you judge yourself, you won't be judged by nobody else, amen. Paul said, I judge myself, amen. When I see that I got something wrong, I start looking to change myself. I know I got to change my mind. I've been thinking one way about something, and that way that I was thinking about it wasn't right, so it's time for me to change my mind, amen. It's time for me to get it right within myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not get it right in somebody else. It's what I believe and what I think about God, amen,
mm-hmm.
that I change, amen. It's what he says about it. So he let us know, except you repent, amen, and stop pointing fingers at everybody else. Bad things happen to anybody. And so they wasn't a bad person just because they got killed on the road. They had an accident. Amen. Amen. They went out the house and somebody shot through the door. They was righteous. Amen. It didn't happen to them because they were sinners. It was just that those things just happened. Amen. So we keep looking down on everybody else and not looking at ourselves. We need to repent. Amen.
No, no.
We got the judgmental attitude about everybody else. Amen. I know that we got the word to straighten us out. Amen. We're not trying to do it. We're just trying to give the word. Amen. To say what is and what shouldn't be. Amen. But no matter what, ain't none of us caused it. I haven't made it yet. I'm not perfect yet either. Amen. So I can expect for all the perfection out of you, and I'm not perfected myself. I can expect for you to be mature. But I can't expect for you to do everything perfect because I'm not perfect myself. And so therefore I can't put no more judgment on you because I need grace to be saved. You think you're going to be saved by your own righteousness? You're going to need grace to be saved just like everybody else, amen. It's by grace that we're saved. It's the gift of God. It's that we have to change our mind. It's by thinking that I'm so holy and I'm so righteous, I'm going to make it because of who I am. No, 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 no. You got to change your mind about that. You are made righteous and holy because of what Jesus did and not what you do.
Amen.
Amen.
And so when you put your judgment on others, that same judgment is coming back to you. You need to change your mind about doing that. You need to change your way about thinking like that, amen? And to realize that you're no better than nobody else. You're just saved by the grace of God. If it was not for the grace of God, amen, none of us would be standing here. I couldn't even be standing up here today if it wasn't for the grace of God. It's not because I've been so holy and so righteous and so all of that. I'm here because I believe in the grace of God. I believe that it is God's love that saved me, amen. It wasn't that I have to save myself, but it's the love of God that saved me. For God so loved the world. For what he thought to do to us, he changed his mind. He had thought to destroy mankind, but Jesus rose up and said, well, who's going to go down there for me and redeem them? Who's going to go down there and forgive their sins? And Jesus rose up and said, I go into the world and I redeem them, amen. I die for their sins so that they can be saved, amen. I go down there and do that for them so that they can make it in. He gave up his life for our life so that we can make it in. And you know what? He didn't even judge us. And I didn't come here to be a judge, but I came here to redeem you. And then even while he was hanging on the cross, the nails in his hand and nails in his feet, amen, and crowns of thorns in his head with his blood dripping out of his back. And even though they did all of that to him, and yet he wouldn't hold that against us. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. What kind of love is that? That someone else would be willing to die in your place so that he don't have to judge you. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about that? I'm going to take your place so I don't have to judge. I put a sentence of death on you, but rather than for me to carry out the sentence, I'll repent and I'll send somebody to do it for you, take care of it for you. See, we don't realize how much love that is, amen. That God changed your life. He changed you from a sentence of death and gave you a sentence of life. And so when he gave you a sentence of life, the devil can't even kill you no more, amen, because you have a life sentence. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. You got a life sentence on you, amen.
Amen.
See, that's the good thing about us all. He said, I just want y'all to repent. When you do wrong, just repent, amen. when you see something, say something wrong, just repent of it, amen. All I want you to do is just change your mind about the situation, and I'll give you a life sentence for that. Mm-hmm. A life sentence. That means even when the grave can't get you down, the grave can't hold you down because you got a life sentence. Hallelujah. That means death can't kill you no more because what? You got a life sentence. God then gave you a sentence of life. Amen. And all the things he asked me to do is just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that God has raised him from the dead on the third day. He said, all you got to do is repent and believe the gospel and that Jesus has done the work for you. And if you just believe, and then he'll be a heart for you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He'll be your heart. Yes, but when you said the ark of covenant, or ark of the testament, or the ark that Noah was in, he said, you can get inside of me, and then I'll get inside you. And then when everything comes against you, because they can't come against me, amen. If they can't come against me, then they can't come against you. You can get in me and have a place of safety. How many of you want to get into the ark today?
Amen.
Come on. All of you who have accepted Jesus, you're in the ark right now, amen. You're in the ark of safety, amen. And the death can't kill you. The devil can't do nothing to you. Nobody can do you no harm because you're being saved, amen, because of the ark. So that is why God told him, well, get in the ark. No, it's time for to get in the ark.
Amen.
But when he got in the ark, there was only one door to get in the ark.
Yep.
Yeah. One door. And Jesus said, I am the way.
The truth man.
The truth and the life. That means you can't get in here unless you come through this door because everything else is boarded up. Hallelujah. Huh? There was only one door on the ark. And then even when Noah got inside of the ark, God closed the door. And so when he said, he shouted, no man can open. When God shut the door, Noah, even though his son had been on the outside, he wouldn't have been able to let his son in because God had the key.
Mm-hmm.
God had the latch on the door, amen.
Amen.
And everybody that was in, they could, even when you got in, you couldn't get out. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, come out. I'm trying to say, when you get in Christ, you can't even get out,
amen.
Come on now, because he holds you in there because he's got the latch on the outside. The latch wasn't on the inside. He had the latch on the outside where you couldn't even get out once he got you in. You knew you were safe, amen. Come on, amen. Come on, amen. Come on, see, you got to know you're safe when you're in Jesus. You're in the ark, amen. And you're not worried about what goes on in the world. If it happens, it happens. If it takes place, it takes place. But I'm still safe, amen. Come on, so I ain't going to be worried about it, amen. I ain't worried about the news. If it comes tonight, I'm all right. I'm just going to sleep right on through it and wake up in promise. Wake up in the promised land. Amen.
Amen.
I wake up before Jesus. So therefore, the people of God don't have no fear, but you got to change your mind about thinking like the world thinks.
Yeah.
The fear of the world is death, but the fear of God is life and peace. And see,
yeah.
This is what the kingdom is about. The kingdom of God is not about what you eat and what you drink, but it's what joy, peace,
mm-hmm.
and righteousness in the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
See, that's what the kingdom is all about. Your peace. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't be worried about what's going on, what's happening in the world. What are they nuke? They going to shoot a nuke today or shoot a nuke tomorrow? What are he going to come today? What are he going to come tomorrow? And you just go right on in your faith, believing that God got me. Amen. Come on, say, God got my back. Amen.
There's no doubt about it.
See, when the fire, when you go through the fire, he said, it won't even burn. Amen. Come on, if God can bring Jesus through some fire, amen, that was seven times hotter, that's what the Luke is, seven times hotter than it was before when he caused them to come out. Without even a smell of smoke. He wasn't even forced, amen. The only thing that happened, it took off the chains and the pound, the thing that they were bound about, amen. He said, even when you go to the water, it won't even overflow you.
That's how good God is.
He said, to try to hold you down, or I cause you to float, amen. Come on, somebody. I said, God got me, amen. I just got to repent from the way I've been thinking, amen.
Yes.
Got to step ready for the coming of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And so now I thank God, amen.
Yes.
Come on, we got to change our mind. Not only change our mind, we got to change our ways.
Yes.
Not only change our ways, we got to change our attitudes. You know, your attitude that you got against somebody else, you need to change it. Attitude that the husband got against the wife, or the attitude the wife got against the husband, you got to change it. You can't let it be the same. And so if there's somebody today, amen, you need a place of safety. You need to change your mind. The Bible said repent.
Uh-huh.
And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus.
That's right.
And receive the Holy Ghost. That's just for those who are lost.
Uh-huh.
But even those who say that they're saved, they need to repent too and stop thinking the way they're thinking. Change their mind about a few things too, amen.
Amen.
And not keep on going on the same way that you've been going on. Not thinking that you're better than somebody else. You need to repent. There's a lot of saved. What word are you seeing? So-called saved people who think they're better than everybody else.
Uh-huh.
Well, you do this. Well, look at you. Look at the anger you still got in your. You need to repent of the anger you got, amen. You need to repent of that attitude that you got, amen. You need to repent of that judgment spirit that you got, amen. But you put it down because of somebody else did something wrong. But you're not judging yourself for the attitude that you got about other people. And then you say, ain't nobody saved but you. You need to repent.
Yes, sir.
You putting everybody else in hell, but what about you then?
Some people think they're good, Mr. Page.
You know
some people think they're good.
Everybody in hell. You ain't made it yet either. And God said if you repent what you thought about your brother, you're in trouble too.
That's right.
If you don't love your brother and love your sister, you're in trouble too. You better change your mind.
You better get it right. You better follow Christ.
Hallelujah. And so thank God today, all of you on the line today, we got to quit the time sink, amen. I see everybody getting wrestling, the chair getting hard, and the booty getting whatever, you know. We're going to have to get some cushions going, amen. They need some cushion seats. We're going to have some cushion seats after a while, amen. We're going to be a place where you can sit down and your thing will be nice up on you, amen. I'm speaking that because I believe that, amen.
Amen.
We ain't going to have to sit in these short seats like they is now. They're too short, you know. They need a little bit more length to them, amen. But it's going to change. Hallelujah. And so if you're online today, amen, if you want to give your life to Jesus, amen, the Bible said if you would confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you can be saved. And all of you got to ask. Somebody said, well, you can't do that and be saved. Well, that's what the Lord said, then.
That's what he said.
Huh? So, Lord, I repent of my sin, O Lord, and I ask that you forgive me.
I do.
The wrong that I've done. And I ask, Lord, that you would come into my heart and heal with me and save me. And I thank you for coming in Jesus' name.
That's right.
We made it so hard. We made it so hard. Signs don't follow. No, signs follow. It doesn't say you have to see the signs first. He said signs follow.
Yeah.
So after you repent it, then the sign gonna follow.
Uh-huh.
Huh? Huh? After you repent it, then you're gonna be saved, amen. But the sign has to follow. The sign will follow. The sign don't go first. See, we always like in the old way, you know. Well, Lord, I'll believe you if you let it rain on the feather and then not rain on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord did that for him. I believe that was Jephthah. Well, Lord, let it be wet all around the feather, and let not the feather be wet. And the Lord did that for him. Oh, I believe now. Well, what did you just call that? That was bleaching.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we call bleaching.